This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Tim. You can hear Tim Roy alongside Tom Tolbert tonight, 7 o'clock. Warriors live beginning at 6 o'clock, all right here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors hosting the Charlotte Hornets tonight, going for their sixth win in 7 games to start the Jimmy Butler era. And boy, the Charlotte Hornets are atrocious, Sam. Like, one of the, if not the worst teams right now playing in the NBA, atrocious.
Oof.
It's
yeah,
them, the
are.
Wizards, maybe the Jazz.
They are 5-22 away from the comfy confines of Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets are 14-42 overall. That is what we like to call in this business a bad basketball team. That's a technical term we have for it.
The other two Curry men are like the sacrificial lambs. In order for Steph Curry to be as great as he is right now, Seth has to be on the Hornets, and Del Curry has to be color commentating for the Hornets. That's the other part of this, too.
That's the other kind of Curry flurry that doesn't get talked about as much. I did not know that Seth Curry, who's 34, God, it's crazy how old some of these guys are starting to get, us included, Evan. I'll speak more for myself on that one. You're still under 30, right? Or you're 30?
No,
years
I just
old?
Turned 30 in 2024.
Oh, that's the last.
Just celebrated my half birthday.
The last good birthday we ever get. But I did not realize that Seth Curry.
Don't
was...
speak for yourself, dude. I got 85 more good ones.
There you go. Seth Curry, who is just becoming such an everywhere man, was on Charlotte. He has been on so many teams over the years. It is crazy. He is he's doing the Dennis Schroeder right now of just getting a whole tour of the league.
He just came out with a new podcast. You see that?
Schroeder or Seth?
Seth. Seth? I don't know about Dennis.
It could be both, for all I know.
Maybe it's a German podcast for Dennis. No, Seth just came out with a new podcast. I think it's something along the lines of like G-O-A-T-E or something. Goated.
Okay.
Goated podcast. Anyways, the first episode was with, obviously, Steph. It was pretty interesting, actually. So I thought it was good. Seth, meanwhile, is, yeah, his basketball team has lost last two games by 52, and they got beat by Sacramento last night by, was it 43 points? Something like that. All I know is Zach LaVine had a 40 burger, which means it must have been terrible. You all right over there?
Yeah, no, I'm looking for this Seth Curry podcast, and I should probably mute the computer before I do that. So we'll find it maybe at the next break. I'll pull it up so that way we don't get any distracted. 130-88, the Kings beat the Hornets, though, last night. So, and they had that long road trip down I-80 to get to Chase Center tonight.
Yeah, they probably didn't get in about 2 a.m.
A little bit of jet lag. Smidge.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny bit.
Just a hair.
They got to get through this fog on the way in, too, probably.
Yeah, you could cut it with a knife. All right, that's Sam Levin. My name is Evan Giddings. We're in for the Joes. Coming up at 8:30, we're going to talk to 2015 NBA champ Festus Ezeli, also NBC Sports Bay Area. Looking forward to that. Yesterday, Sam, on Willard and Dibbs, Steve Kerr, he talked about a lot of different things. We played for you the meaningful basketball quote. I thought something that went a little bit under the radar was when, I think it was Willard, asked him to compare the personalities of Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler. They're very different people, but clearly the impact that Jimmy has had has been felt more in the win column this season than Wiggins. And not to dismiss what he did in 2022, he's a champion. He will always be a beloved member of the Warriors and this organization. But I want you to listen carefully to this because there was something that stood out to me that I'm going to explain on the other side. Let's take a listen.
I don't really like to compare Wiggs and Jimmy. I think the whole thing is really circumstantial. You know, Wiggs was fantastic. Obviously, was one of the keys to the 22 championship. Played such a big role on our team. But our team has changed and shifted. And, you know, you could tell before the trade that we just weren't quite getting anywhere. We were kind of treading water right around 500 all year. And so I think the timing was right, more than anything, for Jimmy to come in here. He's a very different player from Wiggs. And both guys are amazing competitors, teammates, all-around players. You know, the size, the athleticism, the versatility. But it's a different feel with Jimmy. He's a different kind of player. And I think where we are right now compared to a few years ago, we needed this kind of player, and that's why we made the deal.
That first couple sentences, you heard the word circumstantial. I mean, he obviously didn't want to talk and compare the two. And I think it's because of his affinity for Wiggins and his love for a guy that he clearly has a connection to. But circumstantial. This trade was circumstantial. That indicates two things to me. Number one, Jimmy Butler was not their first choice. And the reports about Curry and Kerr being concerned about the culture fit were correct. Doesn't mean they haven't smoothed things over. Doesn't mean that they haven't found a way to win in spite of that. What it also indicates to me, Sam, is that Jimmy Butler is an NBA mercenary for the Warriors. He's not here to fit into the system. He's here to be the system. And with that comes great talent, comes great opportunity, but also it means there might be a shelf life to this. And that's another reason why I feel even more strongly that this has to be a year for them to make a run. Because I can't count on who Jimmy Butler is going to be a year from now. I don't know if he's going to be the same Jimmy, happy Jimmy, wake up on one side of the bed and feel like torching the organization, Jimmy. I don't know who he's going to be because right now he's obviously in a great headspace. He's in basketball nirvana in his own mind, but I don't want to rely on that maintaining or staying in the same place 365 days from now. When I hear Steve Kerr say that the trade for Jimmy Butler was circumstantial, that puts even more pressure on what they're trying to do this year because he has some underlying concerns. They just haven't emerged yet.
Yeah, I think let's put, you know, put the what Jimmy will be like in the future off to the side for a little bit. We'll get back to that in a second. But looking at where Jimmy's at right now, are Steph and Draymond the two best, most accomplished teammates that Jimmy's ever played with in his career?
Accomplished, yeah.
Yeah, no, so I think this is arguably, yeah, no, it was a rhetorical question. This is probably the best situation that, and this is crazy to say considering the teams he's been on in the past, but I think this might be the best situation that Jimmy Butler's ever really been on in his career where, you know, yes, he was on two Heat teams that, you know, went to the NBA Finals, but he was the guy carrying those teams the entire way. Here on the Warriors, though, he has got a supporting cast that he has never really had before. Like, he is the best players he's had playing alongside of him were, you know, a young Karl Anthony Towns and a young Andrew Wiggins that on a Timberwolves team that he was never really that impressed with. There was a moment in time where I think he was out on the same court as Dwayne Wade and Zach LaVine in Chicago. When do those teams ever go anywhere?
He was traded for LaVine.
He was traded for, okay. But yeah, he was on some of those early Chicago teams that never really went anywhere. Or it might have been, was it D. Rose was there with him? Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade?
Yeah, but it was post-injury for Derrick.
Yeah, but so my point is, he was on some Bulls teams that had some names, but there was not really any substance beyond that. And then when he was in Miami, you know, the best players that he was playing alongside during that time were, you know, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero started to rise up towards the end. But, you know, that was a team that was kind of going more on its culture than anything. Here at the Warriors, though, he's got incredibly great accomplished players who he can share the load with. He doesn't have to carry this team like he's had to carry teams in the past. He's got guys who just who have that cachet that he's wanted. One of the reasons why he wanted out of Miami was because he wanted other help. He wanted other stars there beside him, and the Miami Heat were not able to make that happen. He does not have to, you know, pine for other stars here at the Warriors because those other stars are already here. This is all a long way of saying that Jimmy Butler this year and potentially next year, he's got to know that if you want a ring, if you want to ride off into the sunset of your NBA career and retire to your rocking chair with a ring on your finger, like, you got to lock in and roll along with what you got here with the Warriors, because this year and next year are your chances. And if you get pissy and blow it up next year because you're unhappy, then you will be flushing your best only, or maybe only good chance, or last only good chance of getting that ring, because, you know, he'll be, what, 36 next year, making a lot of money. If he does want out, where are you going to go? Like, there's nowhere else you can go in the league right now that will want to take you where you'll have a better chance of getting a ring than right here with the Golden State Warriors. So if I'm Jimmy Butler, like, I'm locking in for this next year and a half and go all out to do everything that I can to help this team that I don't have to carry to win an NBA championship.
Well, I think he has to help carry this team for sure. He's got to carry his,
but he won't be
load.
Carrying it alone like he had to in Miami.
No, that's true. I mean, and I do believe him when he says that this is, you know, the best situation that he's been in. He also mentioned he's a good fit anywhere. You know, Butler is a player that I think does fit on any team, and that's why, again, you know, it's funny, we were talking about James Harden earlier. The quote of him talking about, "I'm not a system player, I am a system." That's kind of how I think about Jimmy Butler.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you, James. Yeah, it's like Jimmy Butler's a system, and but he's kind of a the system can be combustible. How about that?
Oh no, he's a fiery, combustible player. I think that was we had Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz of you know, of 560 WQAM, who, you know, they're one of the Heat's stations out there. He came on and he pretty much said, like, it's all good with Jimmy until he wants to go. And then it becomes a nuclear meltdown. We saw it in Chicago. We saw it in Minnesota. We saw it briefly in Philadelphia. As long as Jimmy wants to be where he is at, he will play along and he will play nice and he will be a part of the solution. The second he doesn't want to be there, though, that'll change. Now, what's been the reason that things changed in the past? He simply was in a situation where he did not feel like he had enough infrastructure around him to get him to that level of playing for a championship. Whether it was in Miami where he was the infrastructure, whether it was in Minnesota where, you know, there was the famous practice where he just went and, like, hard against all the young guys with Cat and Wiggins at the time just to prove a point. Like,
It was mainly Cat. Yeah, he doesn't have a problem with Wiggins.
Yeah, and Wiggins is a big fan of him as well. But yeah, he went at Cat there. It's just he was not impressed with the guys he had around him. That's why it's different. How could you not be, if you're Jimmy Butler, how could you not be impressed with what you have around you? And I'm not just talking about Steph and Draymond, but to also have, you know, accomplished role players like a Kevon Looney, to have young guys who are just who are putting in that work to become better players, and Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, and Brandon Pajemski. Like, there has never been, as he said, a better situation here. I don't see how he does not buy into that. And I be kind of curious to see how what events would need to transpire from here between now and in the future that would lead Jimmy Butler to look around one day and be like, no, this what the Warriors have here is no longer good enough for me to want to buy in.
No. It's not about him not being on a team that can win. Like, he can win anywhere. Jimmy Butler has shown that he can win anywhere, and this might be the best team that he's ever played
but it's
with.
The place where he'll have the best chance to win the most.
I mean, he's already been in two NBA finals.
But yeah, I mean, it's, if the goal is to get there or to win it. Like, if the goal is to win it, then...
Who needed who more? Jimmy Butler or the Warriors? Did the Warriors need Jimmy Butler more than Jimmy needed the Warriors? I think it's clearly the Warriors.
Well, I think the Warriors, and Steve said, you know, we needed a different feel right here. Different, you know, Wiggins is a different player.
They needed
player.
A guy who could play.
They needed a different feel. And Draymond said in the this Athletic article that Marcus Thompson and Sam Amick put out yesterday that it broke at the end of our show. You know, there's a quote here where, you know, Draymond, he had a standing request for the front office. Go get another a-hole. That's what he wanted. And that's what the Warriors needed, because they needed an edge. They needed someone to come in here and, like, don't know if rattle the cages is the right word, but they need someone to come in and just kind of rattle things a little bit, get a little bit more intensity here. And I love Andrew Wiggins. He's a champion. He will always be forever a champion in my book, and he will always get an ovation when he comes back for whatever event, Andrew Wiggins night, or so be it. But Andrew Wiggins doesn't bring that rattling edge that Jimmy Butler does, because Wiggins, that's just not the kind of player he is. And so, yeah, did the Warriors need Jimmy Butler in a sense that they needed someone to come in and shake things up? Absolutely. Like, they absolutely needed just to put some sort of something interesting on this season. But Jimmy Butler needs the Warriors a lot too, because if Jimmy wants to be known as an NBA champion, like, this is what he needed the Warriors for. Like, he wanted to go to the Phoenix Suns. That was his preferred destination. Like, yeah, if you want to go and live in the nice, warm Arizona heat, that would have been really good for you, and you would have enjoyed losing in the play-in these next 2 years. Like, the Suns were not going to get him to where he wants to go if where he wants to go is win a ring. The Warriors will.
I think he wants to get paid. That's why he wanted to go to Phoenix.
Okay.
Because there was a deal waiting for him there. Jimmy Butler, I'm not saying he's not a competitor. I'm not saying he's not a killer. I'm not saying he's someone that doesn't want to win. But Jimmy Butler clearly has made it known that just as important as winning is getting the next paycheck.
Do you think that he would potentially derail a chance at a ring in favor of getting that paycheck?
He just did it in Miami.
Well, I mean, in Miami, like, they didn't have
the... You're telling me that team, if they had a healthy Jimmy Butler, wouldn't have a chance?
I mean, they were at the bottom. They were in the eighth seed in the East. Like, they were. It was a situation where...
Went on an NBA Finals run from.
I mean, you're going to say that just get the eighth seed and make a run? Like, that's not a consistent way to win. That's not a solid way to plan your playoff strategy. Like, you want to be higher up in the playoff standings here. You're going to get that here with the Warriors. Like, yeah, he had opportunities to win in Miami. They fell short. It wasn't going anywhere. If he wanted a ring, he realized that I'm not going to get that when the Robin to my Batman is Bam Adebayo, so he can come here, be part of a triarchy of greatness. Yeah, that's a much better situation than what he had in Miami. That's a much better opportunity to get a ring than what he had in Miami. And as, you know, talk with Andre Iguodala, he as he said on Sunday, you know, having that understanding to see the bigger picture and take that step back for the team, that can set you up to get paid as well. So, yeah, Jimmy Butler, you could get the best of both worlds here with the Warriors in the way that you weren't able to get in your previous stops.
Well, but he's not going to a team that's a surefire contender. Like, they brought them in because they think he makes them that. That's why, again, I think the Warriors needed Jimmy Butler more than Jimmy Butler needed the Warriors.
Yeah, and again, I will agree with that. But, I mean, there was a level that Jimmy needs the Warriors, too, if Jimmy wants to get, you know, the kind of career accolades that...
Well, he wants what the Warriors have,
yeah,
which is rings.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling me he couldn't have gone to a different place? If Jimmy Butler went to Memphis and is playing this way, I think he puts them in a great position to win. If he wanted to go to Milwaukee, which was also a team that he was connected to and scrapped, I think he would have helped Giannis Antetokounmpo be in a position to challenge for a championship. But why did he want to go to Phoenix?
I mean, if he wanted to go there to get paid, he could have absolutely gotten paid there. But I can't believe that putting him on Phoenix, a team that is just an absolute mess right now, despite all the star power that they have, I think that right now the Phoenix Suns, they're in the 11th spot right now, 27-30. If you swap out Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler on that team, they're probably still hanging around the bottom of the play-in tournament just because their issues go far beyond whatever Butler would have fixed, though.
That's my point, though, and I don't think that Jimmy is someone who doesn't see that. He's a competitor. He thinks he can help them.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
But if he felt like the last, like, I think what Jimmy Butler really wanted coming into this season, when apparently the contract negotiations between he and Pat Riley blew up, what he wanted is what Paul George got in Philadelphia. He wanted a right-off into the sunset, 4-year max salary deal to take care of him for the remainder of his NBA career while he tries to compete as hard as possible. Now, I think that Butler may be someone that's a bit more of a hoop head than Paul George, but that's neither here nor there. My point is, the Warriors brought him in. I look at him as a mercenary, and mercenaries are volatile. They're going to help you, and there's no doubt. They've already won 5 of 6. They may win tonight against Charlotte. They're going to be playing better basketball, and they're a better team for having Jimmy Butler. What I'm trying to say is that it just makes this season even more important, because I don't know what kind of player or individual he's going to be for the remainder of his time in Golden State. And right now, he's in a great place. The Warriors are in a great place. And I hear you, 925. Can't we just sit back and enjoy the ride? I would like to enjoy this season, this ride. And I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I can't rely. Like, Jimmy Butler is not the same person that Andrew Wiggins is. Steve Kerr just told you that. And he talked about this trade being a circumstantial situation. That means that I don't think Steve Kerr knows what Jimmy Butler is going to be beyond this year. That's why right now really matters. That's why the remainder of this season matters more than what happens this summer. That's what I'm trying to impress upon people.
Oh, no, and I agree. I think there's an urgency for now, but if you could take care of your business now and keep the good times rolling, there's no reason why I think you can't roll this into next year and keep the good times rolling into your, you know, the first full year of Jimmy Butler.
But again, Jimmy Butler's been a part of good times, and it's never prevented him from blowing up a situation.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't happen. Like, it's taken, you know, I mean, it took 4 or 5 years with the Heat before he got to that point. I think if
it
you're
took
giving,
1 year in Minnesota.
If you're, yeah, he never had the infrastructure in Minnesota. He's got such better infrastructure around him here that I think it'd be, you'd have to be digging pretty hard to find a problem with what you got now, unless there's stuff that ends up brewing behind the scenes, someone doesn't get along with someone, or what have you there. But until that happens, like, that's a let's cross that bridge when we get to it conversation, if you ask me. Right now, things are good. Everything is set up right now to be good for the foreseeable near future. Let's let them find a way to screw this up before we start worrying about what screwing up will mean in terms of the future of Jimmy Butler.
For the 415, Jimmy won't be a malcontent until after a full season. I'm only concerned for year two of his contract. That's fair. That's fair. I mean, I just think that this season it's their best shot. I just think it is with the age of their stars, with the rest of the West, and how some of the teams also look a bit vulnerable around the conference. I think this lines up for them to make a good run, perhaps their best run. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky here on The Roast. Let's go out to Huntington Beach and talk to, oh, we got an Evan on the line? My man.
Evan Squared, let's go.
What's up, Evan? How we doing?
What's up?
How's it going? How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic, Evan. What do you got for us?
I just want to talk about Quinn Post and how I think he's our key to success, and I think he's going to get us into the playoffs and help us make a run to win the championship.
I love that energy, Evan.
What has you so high on Quinn Post there, Evan? Why do you think he's such a key?
Because he's ballsy.
That he is. He is, actually. I agree with that.
Because he's what?
Said because he's ballsy?
He's ballsy.
Yeah.
Ah, I got you.
He does have that.
Oh, see, Evans, we got it like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Kevorka.
It's the ballsiness.
Well, you don't have to keep repeating it, but yeah, we got Cajones. We
like
got Huevos.
Yeah, like some Huevos. Little Rancheros, too.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, look, by the way, great call, Evan. Feel free to call back anytime.
Yeah.
This is a safe space for you.
Good to hear from you, Evan. We like Evan's on
the morning
roast.
You like Quentin Post?
Oh, yeah. I've been enjoying Quentin Post. I was like, when Quentin Post first, you know, showed up at the doorstep at Chase Center this year, I'll be honest, I had no idea anything about him. I mean, he was a 4-year guy at Boston College, and he was really tall, and that's about where, you know, the know-how on Quentin Post ended there. I was like, you know what? Why not? It was at a point in the season where it was just things aren't going well. I'm willing to try something new out. And he just endeared, he just kind of clicked right away. And that's why I kind of said it yesterday. Like, he is the perfect Steve Kerr player. A four-year college guy, knows where he needs to be on the court, can get a three up here and there, but is not afraid to get down and dirty and do the hard work stuff that, you know, can be easily eschewed in the NBA these days. He's a perfect 10, 15 minute a night guy in that five spot.
Yeah, I mentioned this yesterday, but I believe it to be true. To me, he reminds me a lot of, I guess, like kind of the modern version of a dude that was on the 2015 championship team, and that's Mo Spates.
Okay.
You know, Spates is someone that I think, because 10 years ago, the three-point shot wasn't as prevalent for big men especially, and he was someone that took more like an 18-foot, you know, 19-foot jump shot, was really good at it. And then in the 2016 season, he sort of just stepped out and started taking more threes. I know he's not as big as Post. I think he's a better defender and obviously was more of a veteran on that first championship team. But if Quentin Post could fill that Mo Buckets role where he steps in, your only job is to come in and shoot.
Absolutely.
Your only job is to set picks, step out beyond the line, knock down threes, which to his credit, he is, by percentage, I believe, the best three-point shooter on the Warriors. He's shooting like 40, almost 43% from three-point
range. You heard it. Quentin Post, best three-point shooter on the Warriors. No one else is close to him.
Wow, dude.
They should have put him in the three-point contest.
They really should have. He probably could have won it. Well, here's the question I have for you then, since we're talking about Quentin Post and we're talking about this Warriors window here, and is it this year, is it this year and next year? When you factor in, how much do these young guys, Quentin Post, Brandon Pajemski, the birthday boy, happy 22 to you, Pods, Kuminga and Moody, like, how much, you even throw Guy Santos in there as well, because he's been looking a lot better
as
late.
Let's throw Guy Sanchez in there.
Exactly. thank you, Big Smooth, for making sure I don't forget that. Morning Roast mispronunciation of the year winner, Big Smooth. How much do you factor in just the performance of these young guys and how much they can kind of keep this window open? And because, again, I've been saying about how Jimmy Butler has the infrastructure around him he didn't have elsewhere. That does include these young guys. So when you factor them into the equation, how much does that kind of give you the confidence that this window can be propped open for the next year and a half?
The young guys?
Yes. How, like, when the young guys, when you factor them into the equation.
I mean, they're pieces, but if like, let's be honest. If we're talking about the next year and a half, if that's what you're really set on.
Yeah, let's just focus
on it. It's not because of them. It's because of Curry, Draymond, and Butler.
Well, yeah, I know, but you need these guys behind them as you know, just to supplement what the big three are bringing.
Yes, but all right, well, let me ask you this then, because it's Pods' 22nd birthday.
Happy birthday.
In 2022, there's a lot of 22s going around. In 2022, when the Warriors won a title.
22.
Is that a song?
Taylor Swift. Oh. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22.
Was that about Mo Spates?
I think it was about Brandon Pajemski's.
Did you hear
birthday.
That? Apparently, Mo Buckets and her used to date.
Oh, God, great. What a lucky guy.
Yeah. So in 2022, Jordan Poole was also 22.
That's what the song's about, Jordan Poole being 22 and 22.
No, I think his is with Ice Spice. But Poole was 22 years old, and it was his first postseason run. I think he had the... I think it was, in terms of like shooting efficiency in that first round against the Nuggets, one of, if not the best, starts to a postseason career ever. You know, he had 30 in the first game against Denver, shot it really well when he was starting instead of Curry, who was making his way back from injury. And then Poole also had a 30-burger in game one against Memphis that they won on the road. He was big in that game. Brandon Pajemski's 22 years old. I'm not saying he's the scorer. He certainly isn't. That Poole was. But could Pods have the same impact in the postseason that Jordan Poole did immediately? Because I think if the Warriors are to legitimately make a title run, they're going to have to get a contribution like that.
It's going to be a Pods party. That's going to be the new thing, right? We had Poole party. Now it's going to be
Pods party.
Pods party. Is that? I don't know. We'll workshop that one.
We could try it.
Oh, no.
I mean, they're going to probably need that kind of contribution. I mean, we talk about how great that title run was, and Andrew Wiggins was the second best player on that team, which he was. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they were their usual championship selves for the most part during that run. But it cannot be stated enough how important Jordan Poole was to that championship in 2022, especially what he was able to do in that first round when they were easing Stephen Curry back in the rotation, and Poole had to take on that kind of that starter's workload during that season, and he was the superstar of that first round series there. And so I don't think it's too far to say that the Warriors probably don't win that title without Jordan Poole having that scoring punch that he provided during that run. Now, do the Warriors need Brandon Podziemski to that same level? If it is to that point, yeah, they're probably going to need that from him. Can he do it? I don't know if he's as great of a shooter as Jordan Poole
was
that year.
He's not.
But what the difference that Poole has as a shooter versus Pods more than makes up on the other end of the floor. You know, I love Jordan Poole. He was not the aggressive defender that we've seen Brandon Podziemski be in his time in the league so far.
But that's another part of this, too. Pods is now a starter.
Yeah.
Poole, once you got to the second round, the Western Conference Finals, the finals, he didn't have to start. You know, he was the sixth man for this team because Klay Thompson was your starting shooting guard. In a way, the Warriors are more reliant on Brandon Podziemski than they were on Jordan Poole the year they won the championship. That, to me, is a little frightening. And I think that Paz is a really good player. He obviously impacts the game, to your point, in different ways than Poole does. He's obviously, I think he's a better defender, mm-hmm. clearly a better rebounder.
Taking charges.
Yeah. Takes better care of the basketball. But they need him to do a lot of different things. Poole's job was to go get buckets, and he was as good as at that as anybody, not named Steph Curry, on that team. So to me, it's, you know, if we're looking at, again, if we're gonna think about this season, what the Warriors can do, putting them into that title category where Draymond wants them to be, you know, these are the questions that you're gonna have to ask. And for me, on his 22nd birthday, it just hit me, like, could Pods be the Jordan Poole for the Warriors? And that is a very tall task.
I mean, if we could probably, would you agree Jordan Poole is probably the fifth best Warrior on that 2022 team? Steph, Wiggins, Clay, Dre, and then it would be Poole at number five, or Dre, Clay, however you want to split it. But
as far as importance?
Or just their overall best players.
Yeah, Steph. Steph, Wiggins, obviously. Dre, I mean, I think Looney was pretty big.
Yeah.
Poole is fourth or fifth.
Would you say, is Pods the fourth or fifth best player on the Warriors right now?
Pods,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're part of what made, I think, Jordan Poole's production so valuable during that run is that the guys above him on the roster were also getting the production that you expected out of them as well. So if it's a situation where, you know, Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, and whoever you want to say is the fourth best player this year, maybe Kuminga might be their fourth best player on that run there. If you're getting the work out of them that you're expecting, I think that kind of takes some of the pressure off of Pods in terms of just how much you expect from him. And that will allow him to kind of just do what he does best, you know, take those charges, get down and dirty on the boards, get those rebounds, get those threes when you need to, because he's not going to create as much space as Jordan Poole did. But if Pod sticks to what he's good at doing on both ends of the floor, and you're getting the contributions from the other four guys on the floor that you're expecting, then, yeah, I absolutely think Pods can be a significant player in a Warriors championship run. Not the exact same way that Jordan Poole was, but in an overall similar way, in that your fifth best player is giving you your fifth best amount of production compared to the other four.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking you to compare them as players. I think that they're totally different players, but the overall
the impact they can have on a championship run, yeah, I think there could be some similarities there.
No, but I think if the Warriors do have action, it would be because, like, let's say Steph, Wiggins, and Draymond were their three best players during that playoff run to a title. Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy Butler now can be a better big three on their run to a potential title this year. Like, that to me is what the difference would be if they're able to get it done. It's that the head of the snake is more dominant than it was then. But that's even asking a lot, because Curry was so freaking good in 2022. And he's going to have to be at that same level. But I think, like, Jimmy Butler's going to have to play at the level he was during his final runs with Miami. Like, those two players are going to have to determine how far this team goes. You know, to me, asking someone like Podziemski to do what Jordan Poole did in any way, shape, or form is going to be a lot to ask. Because the other part is, too, you just don't know what these young guys are going to give you in the postseason. 415 brings up an interesting comparison or a question. Could Kuminga do something similar to Poole from 22? That's the question. We got to see what he is when he gets back on the court. And on the other side, in the 8 o'clock hour, I do want to get into Kuminga because Steve Kerr had an update on him yesterday from Willard and Dibbs. We're also going to talk to Festus Ezeli at 8:30, Randy Bennett at 9 o'clock here on the roast. But the thing is, if you're thinking about what those young guys can do, in a way, I can only put them into the postseason as question marks. Like Curry and Butler are going to have to drive this bus. And at the very least, compared to their last championship, they now have two guys that are behind the Magic school bus.
Yeah, I mean, well, I agree. Yeah, there are question marks, obviously, on the end of this roster. But I think that's kind of the beauty of what this team could possibly be, Evan, as we sit here on the morning of the Warriors taking on the Charlotte Hornets in a game which way they will honor their first championship team of this run, a team that, for being real, had all question marks because there was no championship pedigree on that team. And that's where, you know, these runs turn question marks, question mark guys into pedigree guys. And that's where they're going to have the benefit of having pedigree guys already on the roster to kind of help turn these question mark guys into pedigree guys as well. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody, I think we sometimes forget they were on that championship run. They know what it's like to be in the playoffs.
Well,
so
they
know what it's like to be in the playoffs.
They don't. They weren't on the floor.
Well, they were, yeah, but they were on the team, in the building,
well,
in
so
the
is
atmosphere.
So is James Wiseman. But if he had to play in a postseason series, that doesn't...
Well, yeah, but we've seen, you know, better improvements in play from Kuminga and Moody since then than we've seen from James Wiseman.
Well, yeah, they're obviously better players. But my point is, being on the bench in the playoffs is not the same thing as being
on the
floor.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it is. But, like, you have some, you know, modicum of
and I realize Moses got a couple minutes in the Western Conference Finals. But now he's a starter.
Yeah.
That's a very different role that he has.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the basic day-to-day life of what NBA life is like in the playoffs isn't as strange to some of those guys like them. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be putting in. And the fact of the matter is the Warriors, I come back to the championship culture and the pedigree that this organization has. And the fact that Jordan Poole is another guy who didn't have that pedigree in that first run. And it was no problem for him slipping into playoff mode. So there is a part of me that thinks that Brandon Podziemski has that similar mindset to where once you plop him into a playoff situation, like I still expect to see the pods that we're seeing right now balling out in the playoffs, getting those threes now and then, getting dirty on the boards, diving for those balls, taking those charges, you know, being aggressive on the defensive end. Like I fully expect Podziemski to rise up to that level when the time comes.
But can he be better? Like that's one of the things about Jimmy that I really liked about the trade is that if you are, you know, thinking about how far you could go and can you make a playoff run, Jimmy Butler is one of the few players in recent memory that gets better in the postseason. If you look at his numbers, they go up once you get to April and May, and hopefully for this team, June. That can't be said for everyone. And so it's not about just keeping the same level of play. You have to elevate your level of play if you're going to win a championship across 2 months on top of the six that you already played.
Yeah, and so are you...
And the young guys have never played this much basketball before.
No, and that it's good. I'm not... It's going to be a challenge, but I guess it's just how much faith. It comes down to how much faith do you have in seeing Pods elevate his game. And the way we've seen Pods grow this year to where he just looked unplayable at times earlier in the year, the way that he didn't let that get to him, he could easily let that sink his sophomore season. But he's completely turned it around to a point where it's just like, this guy, he's got an edge in him. You talk about, you know, Iguodala saying you need to have, you know, a little bit of a craziness in your ego and that edge there. Brandon Podziemski absolutely has that. Whether or not it translates, how much it translates onto the court is going to be the question there. But no, I absolutely, Pods is going to be putting everything he can into elevating his game in the playoffs. Whether it leads to successful basketball or not, that remains to be seen. But if the question is, do you think Pods will shy away from the moment? No, I don't think that will be it. Can he be better than Jordan Poole was? That's going to be a tall order. But when you talk about how Jimmy Butler is a better presence now than Andrew Wiggins was, then that kind of creates a domino effect where if Jimmy Butler's able to do more than Wiggins, does that in a sense take a little bit off of Brandon Podziemski's plate in terms of what you need from him in a playoff run?
I also think it's interesting that we're talking about, and Kuminga's hurt, so we'll figure it out when he comes back. We're talking about the two guys that also it appears that Jimmy Butler has helped the most. He's helped elevate their play. They're playing awesome, Podziemski and Moody together, in the starting five, no less. And the reason I'm bringing this up is Podziemski turns 22 today. Happy birthday to Pods.
Feeling 22.
And it just had me thinking about the year 2022, Jordan Poole's role on that 22 team. And let's broaden it. of Moses Moody, Brandon Pajemski, and Jonathan Kuminga, who has the best chance to replace, not replace, but embody what Jordan Poole was for that title run? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Sam Lubman. My name is Evan Giddings in for the Spadoni and Shasky Morning Roast. And it's now time for our injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, well, Trace Jackson Davis will be on the court tonight. TJD is a game-time decision for the Warriors contest with the Hornets tonight due to an illness. He's already missed Sunday's game against the Mavericks with this same illness. Jonathan Kuminga obviously working through five-on-fives. We got a bigger update from Steve Kerr coming for you on the other side in regards to JK. That's the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Again, who has the opportunity from the young guys to take that leap, a leap that the Warriors in all probability will need if they're going to try and do what Draymond Green has promised, which is win a title? There's also some questions surrounding Butler that I want to get into as we move forward into the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk about it 10 years removed from the anniversary of the first championship with Festus Ezeli, was on that squad. He's going to join us at 8:30. And then St. Mary's men's basketball coach, fresh off their second outright conference championship, Randy Bennett, is going to join us at 9 o'clock. All that coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Giddings, Lubman, back after this.